thank you so much. I'd invite you to take God's Word today and turn to Luke chapter 15. Continue our time together thinking about focus. What is our focus as God's people, individually and corporately, as the body of Christ? I want to speak to you today on the subject of a loving focus. A loving focus. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 15, some fairly familiar scripture, some familiar concepts anyway that you've probably seen before. Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Let us pray. Father, we love you today. We ask you to be with us and speak to our hearts. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the heart of God that is revealed in these few simple verses. And Lord, may that heart be ours as well. Be with us now. Watch over us and protect your word. May it go forth to change us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A loving focus. Jesus here speaks of having a loving focus. The Father has a loving focus towards those who are far from Him. And that's what I want us to see today from the Word of God. Let me remind you, of course, that if you happen to miss one of these messages, you can go to our website at volunteerbc.org. You can find it right there on the front page, and I'm going to encourage you to listen. Find a little time throughout the week to listen. I encourage you to do that every time you have to miss, but certainly as we go through this focus series, because it is extremely, if I can use the word, focused on us as the people of God here at Volunteer Baptist Church. Let me also remind you of something I said last week, that what we're looking at in these series of sermons has much more to do with our attitude than what actions we take. It has much more to do with our attitude than what actions we take, because if our attitude is not right, if our focus is not right, oftentimes we will resist the very things that God calls us to do to reach out to others. We'll resist them. So we want to think about our attitude and think about our thinking. Is it what it needs to be? Is our focus as a people of God and individually, is it what it should be according to the Scripture? The Bible tells us here that the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were complaining and saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And then the Bible says that Jesus opened his mouth and he said this parable to them. Now what we're looking at today, the heart of Jesus' teaching, is actually what is called a parable that you see there in verse number 3. A parable is a story that Jesus would use from the real life, from the physical realm, to demonstrate great spiritual truth. Jesus would often use these parables, these stories from the Word of God, to demonstrate great spiritual truth, to demonstrate something powerful in the spiritual realm. Now, these are to be taken and these are to be interpreted differently maybe than other passages of Scripture. Let's see if we can make the difference here. When we look and think about didactic and doctrinal teaching, here's what we find. There are certain things in the Scripture that are to be taken as absolute commands. In John chapter 13, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." We are to love one another as Christ has loved us. That is a direct command from Scripture, and that is how we interpret it. It is a direct command. It is didactic, doctrinal teaching. Parables, however, are meant to explain doctrinal teaching. They are meant to give focus to the doctrinal teaching. They are meant to serve as examples, and therefore they're not to be taken in exactly the same way. Jesus is not telling us here to literally go out and find sheep or literally try to go out and find a coin. He's telling us something here about the heart of God. He's telling us something here about the heart of Messiah. As a matter of fact, most parables maybe have one or two huge lessons, one or two huge focuses. And the focus that we see here in this passage, I think the thing that Jesus is trying to teach us is this. God values, God loves, and God pursues those who are far from Him. God values, God loves, and He pursues those who are far from Him. Now when you look at this passage here, you see the 100 sheep, one is lost. He leaves behind the 99, goes to find the one. You find that there are 10 coins, but one is lost. The lady sweeps the house until she finds that one coin. The idea behind this here is that a loving focus is given to us as an example. Jesus is talking here about a loving focus that God loves, that He cares for, and that He pursues those who are lost. Now, we didn't even read the rest of this passage when it talks about the lost son, the one who left the father, and how the father searched and how the father was waiting for him to return. But it has very much the same focus. We see here a loving focus from the very heart of God, a God who desires to reach out and to pursue those who are far from Him. And if that is His focus, it ought to be our focus. If we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are followers of Him, then our focus ought to be the same. We should have the same care and concern and love for those who are far from God. Especially since we were once far from God. Especially since there was a time when you and I were far from God, when you and I were living in that despair of lostness. We ought to be focused and loving and concerned. So how do we develop this attitude? How do we develop this loving focus? I want to give you a few steps today. You've heard many of this before, but I want to give you just a few steps from the Word of God. Number one is this. Be concerned. If you want to develop a loving focus, be concerned for those who are far from God. Now, perhaps this is very self-evident. Perhaps we know this, but oftentimes I believe we forget it. The first step is to have a basic concern for those who are far from God. Those in your life, maybe those co-workers, those people in your family, those neighbors down the street. Are we concerned about those especially who are far from God, those who are lost, those who have no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we concerned as God's people? It's an important question to ask and to be reminded of again and again. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, they weren't too concerned about these people. As a matter of fact, they complained, this man receives sinners and eats with them. At the end of verse number 2, that's not a compliment they're giving Jesus. That is a stinging rebuke and a criticism. But are we going to have a heart that is concerned for those who are far from God? Do we realize what the Bible says about those who are far from God? What the Bible says about those who refuse to repent? What the Bible says about those who die lost? Do we remember what the Bible says? Now I know that eternal judgment and the doctrine of hell have fallen on hard times here lately in many of our churches. But we need to be reminded every now and again that that is the fate that awaits those who reject God. God's word has not changed. As a matter of fact, in chapter number 16, Jesus begins to teach about hell, and He begins to teach about the rich man and Lazarus. And so the juxtaposition there is great. And it is a reminder to us that God's word is very thorough, very clear. Those names who were not written in the book of life were cast into outer darkness, were cast into the lake of fire. Are we concerned for those folks that are heading in that direction? Are we concerned for those who are far from God? Are we concerned at all? When was the last time it got our attention? When was the last time it got our attention? When is the last time we thought about that lost loved one, that lost friend, and what awaits them if they never truly repent and if they never turn to Christ? Are we concerned about that, God, as God's people? Are we concerned about that as a church? Jesus was concerned about that. He was willing to undergo the scrutiny of the religious leaders and the persecution. He was even willing to die for those who were far from God. To die for us. May we be concerned for those who are far from God. Number two, when I have a loving focus, do all we can to reach those who are far from God. To reach out to with the truth of God's Word. Now when I say reach people, obviously, Jesus must do the saving, the Spirit must draw. I'm not saying that we save anyone, but we are the mouthpiece, we are the conduit that God has left here upon this earth to spread the message of the good news of the gospel. So are we doing what we can do to reach those who are far from God? I know you can't do everything. I can't do everything. We can't reach everyone, but are we doing what we can? Are we making an effort? Are we stepping out of our comfort zone in order to see people who are far from God brought near? Are we willing to pray for those who are lost? Are we willing to pray that the Spirit of God would open their hearts and their minds? And by the way, that is absolutely necessary in the salvation experience. I remember that time. It's been many years ago now, but I remember that time that the light bulb went off and I realized that I was absolutely lost and that I had no hope apart from Jesus. I remember that time. I'd heard the message many times before, but there was a day, there was a time, and I can't remember the exact date or the exact time, but there was a date and there was a time when I heard it and all of a sudden I began to realize, hey, that scripture's talking about me. Well, what did that? The Spirit of God did that. Or who did that, maybe I should say. The Spirit of God. Jesus said in John chapter 6 that no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws us. Now, are we praying for that drawing power of the Spirit of God? Because a lot of folks today, they're lost, but they don't realize they're lost. Amen. They don't realize it. They have no understanding of lostness. And I'm going to talk about that even a little bit more in a moment. But listen, are we willing to pray? We need to pray for all kinds of needs and we need to pray for all kinds of situations. But I'm thankful that God is beginning to stir in our church and the hearts of some people. And they're beginning to focus and praying on those who have spiritual needs. Those who are lost. Those who are far from God. That is an encouraging and an exciting sign in our church family. And may it continue to grow. Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to share the good news? Are we willing to step outside of our comfort zone and share the good news? Do we have a basic understanding of the gospel? Do we have an understanding of what Christ has done for us? Are we willing to give? Give of our time? Give of our energy? Give of our focus? And yes, at times, give of our money in order to support the church, in order that the gospel may go forth. Are we willing to do what we can do to reach those who are far from God? It's a question that you and I have to answer. It's something that you and I must keep at the forefront of our mind. What is our focus going to be? Is it us? Or is it what God would do in us and through us to reach out to those who are far from God? The heart of the Savior you see here. He was willing to leave behind the 99 and go out and search for that one lost sheep. And the lady was willing to sweep. And by the way, when it talks about a coin there, it's not talking necessarily about what we think is coins. What she's talking about here, what Jesus is talking about at the end of this parable, was actually a significant amount of money. It was probably a denarii. The coin was probably a denarii, which was a day's wages. So this was a significant amount of money that she searched for. Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to share? Are we willing to give? Are you willing to do what you can? Our eyes open. Jesus said, may their eyes be open. He said, look, open your eyes. You say the harvest is way off. I tell you, he said, the fields are widened to harvest. Right now, Jesus said, pray that God would send laborers into the field. Are we willing to do what we can do to reach those who are far from God? Number three, will we meet those who are far from God where they are? Are we willing to meet those who are far from God where they are? We talked about this last week. God meets us right where we are. He doesn't want to leave us there. He wants to do a miraculous saving work in our lives. But He meets us right where we are. Are we willing to do the same for those who are lost today? Are we willing to meet people right where they are? And maybe we need to be reminded where people are today. There was once a day and time, I believe, in our society where there was a general covering of morality over us, based mostly on Christian principles. I'm not saying that throughout our country's history everyone's always been a Christian, because we know there's always been sin, there's always been chaos upon this planet, and it's certainly true in our history, and we have things we need to repent and turn from. But I'm saying at least there was agreed upon principles of right and wrong that most people agreed to. But that is no longer. That is beginning to slip away. We are moving into a time where Isaiah calls people call good bad, and they call bad good. They call evil good, and they call evil good, and good evil. I mean, it's just the world is turning upside down. And people have lost focus. And so when we begin to confront people, maybe we need to go back a little further than we used to. Used to, when I would share the gospel, I would start with sinfulness. And I would start how we're sinners before God. But my belief now, we need to go back a little further. Because people don't understand first that they're created by God. And they don't understand that they are accountable to Him. Amen. We've told people for so long that you're just an evolutionary accident that, guess what, people begin to believe in now. And we've told them that you're no longer really accountable to anyone but yourself. And guess what? People believe that now. But the difference, I believe, is found in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches a sermon. And it's a powerful sermon, but he's preaching to a Jewish audience. He's speaking to people who have some foundational belief in Yahweh, some foundational belief in Messiah. And so he preaches in a very specific way. But if you go over to Acts chapter 17, Paul is preaching to a much different audience, a Gentile audience. And he starts at the very beginning. He starts with creation. I encourage you to read it. It's the end of chapter 2 in the book of Acts and the end of chapter 17. See the differences. See the contrast, because I believe there's a blueprint there for us. And what I'm saying is this, is that in order for people to truly understand that they need to be saved, they need to understand their lostness. And that's where we need to start. By reminding people that you are created in the image of God. Listen, folks, today. You are created in the image of God. Your life has value and meaning because of that. Every life has value and meaning because of that. We are created in the image of God. Our lives are not accident. We're not here by happenstance or by chance. We're here by the purposeful, creative act of God. And we have been created in His image. Amen. Male and female, He created them. But we also must understand that while we are in His creation, we are also accountable to Him. And that's where we've lost it. That's where we've lost in many ways. People don't understand this anymore. They don't understand that they're accountable to God. They decide that they're just going to not believe that anymore or cast that aside. But the Bible has not changed and the Word of God has not changed. And so if you're lost today, I want you to know you're accountable to God. You will stand before Him one day. You can ignore Him now, but you will not ignore Him forever.
Amen.
You'll stand before Him. And when you stand before Him, you'll stand before Him guilty. In your natural state, in your humanity, you and I stand before Him guilty. Because we've all sinned. We've all disobeyed. We have all. Sometimes maybe we even need to explain what sin is. Sin is not just, hey, I made a mistake. Sin is, I have disobeyed and I have transgressed the very Word of God. I have turned it on its head and I have become an idol unto myself. But the good news is this. While we're guilty, Jesus Christ bore our guilt. While we are guilty, Jesus Christ bore our guilt upon the cross and gave Himself for us, living for our righteousness, dying for our sins, arising just as He said, calling upon all men, all women, everywhere to repent, to turn from their sin and trust in Him. And those that turn and believe and trust in Him shall have everlasting life. Are we willing to meet people where they are with that message? Are we willing to listen to the tough questions? Are we willing to converse with people on that heart level? Not just preach at them, but listen to them. Are we willing to listen to their questions and try to answer them? And when we don't have the answers, can we just say, listen, I don't truly understand, but I know that God loves you. I know that God cares for you. I know that He sent His only begotten Son for you. Are we willing to interact with people? Are we willing to meet them where they are? Are we willing to reach out to them? To those who are far from God, do we even care at all? I hope we do. But finally this. We need to welcome those who are far from God into the church.
Amen.
Welcome those who are far from God into the church. Now, listen at what I'm about to say, okay? Because I want to nuance this here in just a moment. This ought to be a place where anyone can come and attend. Anyone can come into our services, our small groups, and hear the truth claims of Scripture. This ought to be a place where that is possible, where that happens. But I want to kind of warn us. And I mean warn us, not just you, but us. Let's just be reminded of something here. If we are truly serious about what is up on the screen today, it's not always going to be comfortable. It's going to be a little messy along the way because lost people, they don't think like we do. They don't believe the same things we do. And I'm not being critical. They just don't know. They don't believe the same things they do. And by the way, they don't talk the way we talk. They're a little more explicit sometimes with their language. I mean, it can be a little bit uncomfortable for us. They don't dress the way we dress all the time. They don't think the way we think. They don't vote the way we vote. Ooh. Oh, goodness. Are we willing to welcome them into our building so they can hear the truth of Scripture? Are we willing to open our arms and to welcome them in? Now, I'm talking here about a couple things. First off, I'm saying welcome them. I am not saying welcome every belief. Let's make that distinction right now. I'm not saying we welcome every belief. We're not here to keep people comfortable in their sin. I'm not saying that we change what the Bible says. If people come, they're going to hear the truth. The unpopular truth, the politically incorrect truth, the unvarnished truth.
Amen.
We're not changing what we believe. And if someone is offended by what we believe and what we teach and they walk out of here, then there's not a whole lot we can do. We will not change that. And I'm not talking here about membership. There's a great difference between attendance and membership.
Amen.
Membership requires someone to have a relationship with Christ. Membership requires someone to be baptized. We're a Baptist church. We love baptism. And membership requires that a person, listen now, is willing to pursue a holy and godly life. Pursue a life of holiness and godliness. If you want to be a member, that's what we ask you to do. That's what we're seeking to do. Now listen, we're not perfect. I'm not saying we meet that challenge every day, but that's the pursuit. And if someone is not willing to make that a pursuit in their life, then maybe membership in our church is not for them. But there's a great difference now between what we're talking about here and membership. I'm just saying that we need to be a place where people who are far from God can come in and can understand and learn the truth claims of Scripture. That they can know and they can learn. Listen, friends, they're not going to learn it anywhere else. It's not going to learn it anywhere else. This is the place. And I'm not saying this is the only place. We need to be telling it outside the four walls of this church. That is certainly true. But this ought to be one of the places. You ought to be able to invite that friend who is far from God into this church. And we need to receive them. Jesus was called a friend to sinners. May we be called friend to sinners as well. Realizing once again now that we were once in that very same boat. Realizing that without the blood of Jesus, we'd be just as lost as anyone out here. Realizing without the blood of Jesus, without salvation, we would have absolutely no hope, just like everyone else has absolutely no hope outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we realize this and it ought to spur us into action to have a loving focus.
Amen.
So the question is, church family, are we going to have this focus? A loving focus that reaches out, that meets people right where they are, that seeks to introduce them to the truth of Scripture, to the gospel that can change lives and that can change their eternal destiny. Are we willing to get our hands dirty a little bit? Are we willing to get uncomfortable a little bit? I hope and pray we are. And certainly today, if you're lost, I want you to know that you're accountable to God. Please understand that. Please don't walk out of here thinking that you can figure it out on your own or that you can somehow work it out on your own. Because on your own, you'll stand in God's judgment and you'll stand before Him guilty. But in Christ, you will stand before Him not guilty. You'll stand before Him with the righteousness of Christ applied to your life. When you trust in Him and when you're miraculously saved, turn to Him, trust in Him. May we as God's people have a loving focus today. Would you join me as we pray?